Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are here on day number 95, and we are looking at one of the key chapters in Scripture, Exodus chapter 12, which is the Passover, the great Passover. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word that we have been able to enjoy for these past few months, and we look forward to many more months to come. Your word is a rich banqueting feast of truth and goodness and power. It reveals your heart to us. It reveals your salvation. It reveals your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would speak to us today through this chapter and write it on our hearts by faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb, according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared for you, by you. And you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread." Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves, according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, "What do you mean by this service?" you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of all the people of Israel when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses." And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so. As the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. At midnight the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Up! Go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks on their shoulders. The people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough that they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land. But no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you." All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. This chapter and the following chapters leading up to and including the crossing of the Red Sea, which is coming in chapter 14, and then the celebration in chapter 15, this is the very heart of the salvation story of the Old Testament. The highest holy day, the most significant annual celebration was the Passover celebration. And God said to Moses and Aaron, "This month, the month of the Passover, this month shall be for you the beginning of months." Because life begins with the Lord's deliverance of his people. The beginning of your true life is when Christ delivered you from your sins and brought you into a right relationship with God. Your sins covered, righteousness secured, peace made with God, and you entered into the kingdom of God. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. And that's what is being pictured here in this Passover. They had to pick a lamb without blemish, a year old, which is the beginning of its full maturity. It's a fully mature lamb, a year old, a male, without blemish. There was no substitute for the lamb. Other sacrifices that would be given later through the law of Moses, if you couldn't afford a lamb or some other animal, you could have a turtle dove or a pigeon. But here it has to be a lamb. And so if your household is too small to be able to really afford a lamb or to be able to eat a whole lamb, you go with your nearest neighbor and you get a lamb. But every bit of it has to be eaten. It has to be roasted on the fire. It can't be eaten raw. It can't be boiled. Fire is a picture of the Holy Spirit, who in the sacrificial system under Moses, the sacrifices on the altar were consumed by the fire and the smoke was carried up into heaven. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit receiving this sacrifice and carrying it up to heaven. And Hebrews tells us that Christ offered himself up through the eternal Spirit unto God. And that's Hebrews 9 on the cross. And so Jesus offering himself through the Holy Spirit is pictured, is imaged by the fact that this lamb was roasted on the fire being this picture of the Holy Spirit. You take the blood of the lamb and you put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel, right? So on the two sides and on the top. And that lintel blood would drip down and it would land on the threshold, right? That forms a cross. The two on the doorposts correspond to the two hand wounds of Jesus. The one on the lintel corresponds to the crown of thorns on his head that was bloody. And then as it drops to the ground, it hits the ground, that corresponds to the feet wounds of Jesus. But it forms roughly a cross that covers the doorway, if you can picture that in your mind, that covers the doorway of the house. This is the Lord's Passover. This word Passover is a passing over, a soothing, a placating, because the Lord would come through the land of Egypt with wrath to judge by killing the firstborn of every household, everyone, except those who had the blood of the lamb, and then the Lord would pass over. He would be, his wrath would be soothed and placated, and he would pass over that house. As the blood covered, the Lord passed over. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he soothed, he placated the wrath of God that is justly due to us for our sin. And so if we have the blood of Jesus applied to us by faith, in other words, if we believe in Jesus and we're trusting in the work that he did on the cross, we're claiming that work as our own by faith, then the Lord passes over us. His wrath toward us is soothed and placated. And instead of receiving wrath and judgment, we receive deliverance. And that's what God's people get. They get deliverance. They are brought out of slavery. They are brought out of the house of bondage. This is how God will preface the Ten Commandments that will be given in Exodus 20. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage, out of the land of your slavery, out of the land of Egypt. That's us. If we are in the Lord, the blood that has covered our sins and appeased the wrath of God has protected us from the judgment of God, and instead of judgment, we are led out. We are led out into freedom, into deliverance. And so God leads us on, and God blesses us. And we are to use the blessings that God gives us for his glory. The people of Israel got gold and silver from their Egyptian neighbors. We read in verse 35, they would use this gold and silver to fund the tabernacle, to cover the furnishings of the tabernacle with gold, and to offer up to God in worship. Now, some of it sinfully, they would make a golden calf with, but the bulk of it was given for the offering of God and the service of God in the temple. We also see a missionary emphasis here in this chapter. Sometimes we think that the Old Testament doesn't have anything to do with the nations or anybody beyond Israel. We think it's just a bunch of promises for Israel. But what do we see happening here? Verse 38, there is a mixed multitude that also went up with them. So other people, some Egyptians, some foreigners, perhaps some Hittites, perhaps some Hyksos, whoever is there in the land who believes, whoever believes, right? They would go out with the Israelites because they trusted that the Lord, Yahweh, was the one true God. Now, we're told here that the time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of Egypt went up from the land of Egypt. So, I believe that they left Egypt around 1476 BC or so. And so they would have come into Egypt, you know, sometime prior to 1900 BC. So they were in the land for 430 years. The statute for the Passover makes provision for foreigners. So not only do we have the mixed multitude that goes up with them, but then the statute of the Passover, the law for the Passover, makes provision for foreigners if they are willing to be sacrificed. Or not sacrificed, circumcised, sorry. If they are willing to be circumcised, to be brought in to the people of God, then they had the full right to the Passover, just like an Israelite. The Old Testament is not setting up a system where only the biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, only those who are Jewish, Hebrews, Israelites, rather, ethnically, are the ones who are going to receive God's grace. It is rather those who trust in the promises of God and those who identify with the people of God. So if you trust in the promises of God and you identify with the people of God, then you take on the sacrament, the sign and the seal of God's grace, in this case circumcision. In the New Testament we have baptism that corresponds to that circumcision. So if they're willing to trust God, identify with the people of God, and be marked out by the sacrament of initiation, circumcision, as belonging to the people of God, then they have full rights and full access to the Passover. It's the hardness of the hearts of the Israelites in their sinful human nature, which does tend to be racist, prejudiced, nationalistic, ethnocentric, whatever term you want to put on it. We tend to have pride and collective pride. It was that heart which over the years would increasingly cause them to treat Gentiles as though they were dogs and as though they were unclean, essentially, and couldn't be among. God intended for them to be a light to the nations and to draw people in, and that people would identify with God's people and take on circumcision and have full access to the blessings of God's people. That was God's original intent, which is reflected here in the Passover as well as in many other passages in the Old Testament. But for us, as believers, this is in Jesus Christ, this is a great reminder to us that we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. We are saved from the wrath of God, and we are delivered out of slavery, out of bondage to sin, and into freedom as the children of God, where we can follow after God through the wilderness of this life, and that we are to call the nations to come with us and to experience the same forgiveness and the same freedom that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for such deliverance. Thank you for such love that is amazing and free and full through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness and our peace. Father, as we are preparing to enter into the season of the year, the week of the year, when we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and his going to the cross, on Passover, Father, remind us that he is the Passover lamb who was slain for us, and that he rose again to bring us deliverance, to bring us eternal life, that we might trust in him, and that we might tell others about him always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Tomorrow we are going to be jumping back over to the New Testament for Matthew chapter 24. I hope you can join us for that, and I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.